Hey, spooky friends. Welcome back.
Welcome back to the podcast, everybody, and joining us on YouTube. And of course, if you haven't subscribed, be sure to hit that subscribe button and share these episodes with your friends.
Absolutely, because we'd love to grow a little bit here so that we can continue to do this more.
Yeah, I've wanted to grow a little bit for a long time.
Speaking of growing, we finally have two people that have volunteered to do the dating game with me. Two idiots.
I know this.
Yeah,
two. Who are these poor souls?
I just convinced two men, you know, with alcohol. No, I have two victims in my closet ready to go.
And who are they? Who are they?
They're just my victims that I keep in my closet.
Okay, well,
they're ready to go.
And when are we going to do this? A few weeks?
We just need one more person and then some time.
Oh, we can easily get... If you want a date with Catherine the Great, give us a buzz and she'll give you a buzz.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know either, but it sounds fun.
It sounds like a good time.
So, we are back, and I want to tell you a story that I haven't told you because of a thing that I found in my house that I forgot that I had.
You have a prop.
Well, it's not a prop. It's a souvenir note. No, I'll tell you something. Okay. Most people wouldn't forget they have something like this.
But
because of the amount of weird haunted items and strange things that I have, this got kind of buried in the studio, and I forgot that I even had it.
Oh.
I have thought of the story I'm about to tell you many times because it was incredibly creepy and weird, and but I forgot that I had this prop.
Interesting.
So in 2010, I was hired to perform at a high school in Manitouin Island, Whipwimacock.
Okay.
So the school itself hired me to come in, drive up. They put me up for the night. I was presenting a show to the kids, and a lot of people from the community came out. And it was sort of one of the only things happening in town that week was me. So when I got there, we had arranged so we could have some radio interviews done. I went up with my girlfriend at the time, and in the morning of the show, we went up the night before, and then the morning of the show, I woke up, and I went to the radio station, the local station, and we spoke about all kinds of stuff. We got on the subject matter of ghosts, and I said to them, where is an area or a haunted site that I could go and look and check out? They said, there's a place, and they kind of drew a map on a napkin sort of thing, and I'm like, listen, this is not going to happen. Like, we need to go together.
Mm-hmm.
So the radio host was like, you know what? If you could stick around to the end of the show, we're all going to go. So we get in. My girlfriend at the time drove a Dodge Ram. So this big Dodge Ram. He was driving a hatchback or something. Anyway, we go along the main road. We're going along the main road for about maybe 20 minutes. Then we get off the main road and we're on this smaller road, and then the road gets smaller and smaller, and then we turn off onto that one, onto a side road, and then it became a dirt path kind of thing. And we were going over these little bridges, and he was telling me that the water that the bridges are going over is like phosphorus and it glows in the dark, and people have gone missing in this swamp. And I'm going, okay, this is kind of cool. Now, this is before we had iPhones to look things up so quickly, but I have looked it up, and this is all the case. Let me see what's going on here. I'm making a disastrous mess. The phone is buzzing.
Yeah.
So anyway, as I pick up this human hand off the ground, we get to the end of the road, and there, to his shock, was a house that used to stand there, but the house is now gone, and it's actually fallen in on itself. The A-frame is landed. The ground is, there's a hole there. There used to be a basement. There's remnants of this house everywhere. And then behind the house, there's a barn, a big barn, like where you would keep stables, kind of where you might keep animals at night. Okay, so he said that this house is mad haunted, that the guy who lived in it hanged himself back in the day, that people come up here and bad luck happens to them after they visit.
After you've gotten there, they tell you this?
Yeah, I didn't care. So now let me paint you a picture. So we get out of our car, and the street kind of just ended, and then there's like a rock wall that kind of follows the property into the distance, and then there's forest. So it's kind of the last house on the way that direction. And you can hear wildlife, you can hear birds, you can hear crows that were everywhere. You could hear them. May God is my witness, I kid you not, the minute you step over the threshold of the property, no sound at all. Couldn't hear anything. And
spooky.
We went up to the property, and I start looking around the house, and looking at the area, and there's pits of where glass bottles have been thrown, but they're not new bottles. They're from the 20s.
Oh, God.
This was someone's garbage from 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Or 90 years ago at the time. And it was just there. And I started going through, and there's like tins, and I mean, it would have been an antique picker's dream, but there it was. And I took a couple pieces and I threw them in my bag, and the guy was like, "Don't do that." I'm like, listen, I ain't gonna do anything. So I ended up going into the barn.
Yeah.
And as I walked in the barn, you could feel the ground starting to go. And I didn't want to obviously fall through into the witch's lair, so I pulled back.
Yeah.
But that was where the guy hanged himself. It was in the barn. There were cat skeletons, as if the cat had fallen asleep and there was just a skeleton. Now, by today, I would have picked it up and kept it.
Yeah.
Had it articulated, but I just left it. There were wild cats everywhere. And just this feeling like you're about to enter into a portal to hell. Like this dark, thick anger in the air.
So, and for you to feel that is like...
Yeah.
Because you're...
And I don't care really.
You're not really that spooky mostly.
No. Well, what do you mean? I mean...
I don't
get scared.
Yeah, you don't get scared. You don't get spooked is what I was saying. Yeah.
I felt something. And so I went out. I went around the property and... In the distance, I would say probably 150 meters, I could see a derelict old broken down tractor and then a path going into the forest. And I'm thinking to myself, there's no way, because this is a horror movie right now ready to happen. If I go over to that path, it's over. Mm-hmm. So I avoided the path. We stuck around on the property for about an hour, and I collected some of these pieces. Now, the interesting thing is, before I show you this, we then started to find bones all over the place. And I kid you not, some of them were not animal bones. I'm certain of it. I mean, I know the difference. So I have this here. My girlfriend actually at the time made this for me because it was a little souvenir. So this horseshoe...
It's a big horseshoe.
...was on the A-frame above the door where the house would have been. So this was above the main door of the house.
Yeah.
This is a bridle bit that would have come off a horse. This was just on the ground. That looks like a scapula. That looks like a part of a fibula. These do not look... That one might be animal, but they don't look animal. But they were just there on the ground. Same with that. These are screws from the door, and that's the door to the haunted
house. And that's all handmade stuff. Like, that's not modern at all.
This is old 19th century... stuff. And so it says remnants from the haunted Hoot and Holler Ranch of Little Current, 2001. I was wrong about the year, but no, sorry,
it says Ontario.
It was 2010.
And that wood is from the
farm. And this is a piece of the house, and that's a piece of the house. So this is a piece of the haunted house. I just stabbed myself on it. Thank God I'm vaccinated or whatever you call it.
You
I think
tetanus?
I require a tetanus shot.
I need a doctor. I'm in danger.
Yeah.
That's like one of the only Simpsons references I know.
No, there's also my favorite Ralph Wiggum is, "I dropped my Wookiee. You bent my Wookiee."
Oh.
He drops his Chewbacca and the package bends. "You bent my Wookiee."
I didn't see that episode.
So anyway, it was Diorama-rama. It was the kids were all making dioramas.
I never watched The Simpsons.
Be gone, you woman!
I know, everyone gets really mad at me when I say that. I'm sorry, that and Seinfeld I never watched and I don't understand.
Oh boy. So anyway, these are the pieces that I picked up. Now, funny enough, on that same trip, we did find a skeleton, human skeleton.
Oh.
And we called it in, and it was just one of those graves that pushed themselves up. They're everywhere there. So that was fine. But which led to the lore of this whole creepy thing. And so I kind of chalked it up to, you know, just being awesome.
Yeah.
And then the girl that I was dating at the time, years later, she messaged me and she said, "Look what I found on a realty site." And they were selling the property. So why it's called the Hoot and Holler Ranch is because the barn had an old hand-painted sign on it that just said Hoot and Holler. And it looked like it was from the 40s or early 50s. So whoever owned that property put that up. It said Hoot and Holler. They probably kept horses.
Yeah.
And then the old guy hanged himself on the property.
Wow.
And these
Did the family live there too? Or?
No, I don't know. I don't know the story of who lived there.
Yeah.
But I know that the man killed himself on the property. And the house had been obviously struck by lightning.
Yeah.
Or set on fire by an arsonist and burnt down without anybody knowing. Because when we went back into town, we were talking about it to people at the school. And they were like, the house burnt down? So it was kind of like everyone knew about this house.
But they just kind of let it be.
Yeah. And I brought these pieces out and everyone's looking at me like, are you fucked? Like, no, don't do that. I'm like, ah, it's fine. They're like, you know, the native kid comes up to me. He's like, I'd go put that back if I were you. That place is pretty cursed.
I mean, do you have a lot of bad luck in your life? Like, mm-hmm. No, I don't think so. You're pretty fortunate, I think. You've got me around.
I don't think I've reached... yeah, then it is bad luck. I think that I've reached a point in my life where I can go further and there's a bit of a brick wall, but I don't think I have bad luck.
No, I don't think it's that. That's really interesting. There's a lot of empty homes in Ontario. And what blows my mind is as a millennial who cannot afford a home because of the market.
Well, they're not really homes. They're just shells of old homes.
No, but there's like a ton of mansions. Like there was one in North York.
Sure there are.
Yeah. It was an 80s mansion that looked like they just picked up and left. Like how does this happen?
Well, people don't pay their mortgage and the bank takes the property and then no one is willing to pick up the property, especially at that value, because it needs to be fully restored and they can just buy a new house. Why would they why would I go buy that house when I can have my own custom manor made wherever I want to have for a fraction of
the
price?
And I guess like people that can afford to buy those homes in the millions.
In that time, that house was probably top notch.
Yeah.
Now it just looks like a Miami Vice coke dealer that got shot down.
There's actually a really beautiful one.
I know the house you're talking about.
But there's one in North York that is actually really nice. Like it's not 1980s. It's like an old like 1940s house.
Yeah.
And the railings need to be restored and all the chandeliers have been ripped down. Mm. Like they're not even missing. They're just ripped off of the ceiling. So you'd have to like replaster and stuff.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I guess the cost and the decay is one thing.
I mean, this property was so far away from anything.
It's perfect. I'll take it.
Well, for a horse rancher, it would be perfect. But for anybody in any sense of the modern age who would want to buy a property like that and restore it, you're just going to live in the middle of nowhere. Literally, the closest store was an hour drive away. So it's not like this place. And then I have to question myself, well, back then, why was that such a place that he said, you know what, this is where I'm going
to
set up.
Probably because he's like me and he wants to boo radley it up away from everyone else.
Yeah, it could be.
Like, I honestly am thinking about it. Like, I would love to have a property out in the forest and I'll come visit.
I wonder if there's anything online about the Hoover.
I'll come visit, but I'm fine with just being out there. I actually was just looking the other day for $46,000. I can buy a property and throw some shipping containers on it.
Oh yeah, you could build a house, tiny homes.
And if for $46,000, there's a home you can have.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you can have a well and stuff like that. My friend did that. He bought a trailer and did that.
I fantasize about doing that. You know, I really do. I have so much stuff. No, what I would do is I would really pare everything down. I'm talking 90% sold. Okay, 90% gone. I would keep the essentials that I really like, the pieces that I really want. I would have to have a larger tiny home, so it'd be like a medium tiny home, but one where there was one room designated to my stuff, and then the rest of the house would be a very minimalist, simple little kitchen, little area to hang out, a deck outside, and live off the land. And you know, if I had enough money to do that, if I sold my stuff, I could live comfortably. I wouldn't mind doing that. I always thought I would never want to do that.
I don't know why I'm changing. Like, my parents...
Because we're getting old.
Well, my parents, they grew up in the country. They grew me up in the country. Sorry, they're from the city.
Sure.
We moved out to Brighton, Ontario, and they bought this 10-acre plot of land, and it's got this old kind of cabin, rustic. I'll have to have you out this summer. Like a rustic home, and my dad built everything by hand inside, like the kitchen and all that, and the floors are big pine, and it's beautiful, it's stunning.
Right.
And as a kid, I never appreciated it enough.
Well, you're a kid.
And now, as an adult, I'm like, man, being a hobbit would be great, you know? And like, I talked to I was on a dating website talking to a guy, and he said that for $46,000 you can do that, and that that was his plan. He turned out to be weird.
Oh, you don't say.
He wanted me to be a dominatrix for him, and that started a whole path of me joking around that I'm a dominatrix, but I'm not.
Well, I'm trying to find an image of this Hoot and Holler Ranch on the internet, and there's nothing here. There was one on the realtor's site, and that was about 8 or 9 years ago. But as for that, that is the memory I have, and I have the piece right here, too.
Well, my parents have old antique farm equipment from horse and buggy kind of days on that land. And so basically the story of my parents' property, I've told the story already about Cole, the dead kid that I was hanging out with as a kid.
Right.
But before that, and I actually have a scary experience that happened to me there. I never told you about
this.
So this house was built around, I would say, like 1950, 1960.
Sure.
Which I thought it was way older. But before that, they would have the prisoners come from Warkworth Penitentiary, and they'd have them plant trees. So there's all these really tall pine trees that are just starting to die now. Because they're almost 100 years old and they don't last that long. It's a soft wood and they were planted. They weren't there. So I remember being 15 years old and I was on MSN Messenger late at night because I played games online.
Is that some kind of drug?
No, I wish. No, I was on dial-up internet and middle of the night was the only time that my friends and I would, you know, spend our summer. It was the middle of summer talking to each other. So I'm sitting at the computer desk and I was wearing little black shorts and a white t-shirt, right? Like, because it was summertime. It was so hot and we didn't have air conditioning. We didn't have a furnace. It was so hot. It could melt ice cream. Anyways, all of a sudden the room got cold. And I remember it was 11:55 when this happened. The room got really, really, really cold. And I felt a presence, as I do. I looked over to my right and my parents had built an addition onto the former garage. So we parked the car in there one time and the fumes were so bad. My parents were like, what were they thinking when they built this house? So the garage they converted into like a living room, dining room space. Anyways, I look into the bigger of the two doors. It's just a frame now. It's a wood frame. And there's a man standing there. And he's about 6 feet tall and he's wearing a white shirt and brown pants. Shaggy brown hair, like just kind of touching the top of his forehead, but he almost looked like Boris Karloff a little bit.
Okay.
And his mouth was hanging open huge in a scream, and it didn't make any sound. It just stared at me, but every hair, and even to this day, like I'm still getting chills about it.
Yeah, sure.
Because I remember feeling just get out, visceral. And I was like, again, like 14, 15. It was so cold all of a sudden. I was shaking. And I literally left the internet on and ran up to my mom's bedroom and went and laid with her because I was so scared. I had the blankets up. And my mom was like, I've never seen this happen to you.
And nothing else ever happened in the house revolving around this guy.
No, I did see him once in the backyard staring in the house.
Oh, come on.
But I don't know who he is. I don't know why he did that.
He died on the property.
I'm wondering if he was a prisoner who perhaps died on the property.
Oh, that makes sense.
I'm wondering if that's what happened, but there's no record. Although when I was spirit boxing there, I kept hearing the last name Alliston.
Ha! Huh.
Like Alliston, Alliston. And anytime I have an obelisk going on the property, that name comes up, Alliston. So if you're from Brighton and you know anything about the Alliston, there's a couple of like hauntings that happened in Brighton, but that property is in the middle of nowhere, like literally the middle of nowhere before there was a golf course. There is a golf course there now. Before that was just forest for days. And there was an old hunting fort out in the forest, but they cut it down. I was a kid and I used to see this, and I remember seeing an eagle's nest as a kid, like all kinds of stuff. I don't know if it's like eagles, but they look like eagles. But yeah, that's one of the scariest stories that has ever happened to me. And so that's my only fear of being alone in the woods, is having something like that happen to me and not being able to protect myself, because my mom, who was into spiritualism at the time, was able to cleanse the house and we never saw this gent again, but scared the living Jesus out of me.
Well, there's a story from both of us.
Yeah, crazy.
And if you have any stories and personal experiences in the world of the supernatural, the unknown, the paranormal, and the somewhat bothersome,
or just the weird. Yeah, just we would love to hear from you guys. Like, I get told stories all the time. My agent told me a story. I'm an actress now.
Oh.
My agent told me a story of things that happened to her as well. And I joked that she should come on the podcast. But
she should.
Yeah, maybe I can convince her to.
Who's the agent?
Oh, I can't say. But yeah, so if you do have stories, and I do have friends that will tell stories, my friend Grace will be coming on shortly to tell some stories.
Yes, yes. But we want to hear your stories.
The viewers. The listeners.
The listeners.
I know my dog Odin listens to the podcast.
He can tell a story.
Odin has been terrorized by spirits before.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, many times. And I always tell them, you can do whatever you want to me, but don't touch my dog.
Don't touch the dog.
He's such a sweet angel boy.
Don't go near the dog.
Yeah, he's such a sweet angel boy. I posted on my Instagram a video of him laying down, and it was he was on his back with his little paws in the air. Aww. So cute.
What a doll. Well, guys, that's another episode of Hey Spooky Friends. A little short one, but we had a really long one last week.
Yes.
So be sure to subscribe. And let your friends know. We would love it if you got in contact with us. If you have any stories, like we said.
Or the dating game.
The dating game. We need one more fool.
Something spooky.
Something spooky.
I think that's what we're calling it.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we'll see you in our favorite place, the future. And remember,
stay spooky.